broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It gets better. It really does. And you may be thinking, what does Tim Gunn understand?
When she was dropped off, I stayed with her, and the guy took off again.
It's part of the reality of a university campus.
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And Word Truth is our bitch on this show. And tonight we have a roundtable with Dave Oliva, an aspiring police officer attending the Los Angeles Police Academy, and with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as we discuss, a topic of compelling public interest, the city of Flint, Michigan, and who knows how many other cities, having to cut back on police protection, and in so doing, asking for volunteers for a new citizen patrol corps, the Blue Badge Volunteer Patrol Corps, city of Flint, Michigan. For those of you watching on the video cast right now, I'm holding up the flyer. It's a Xerox of the flyer that has been passed out by the city of Flint. And while, you know, we applaud the public service of all people, the fact that a city is running so low on money that it has to cut back on police service is, I think, pretty critical. Also later on tonight, we'll have Reverend Dave Castorini. David Castorini will be joining us on some radical steps that he had to take to raise money for his youth ministry and how many people it cost him, that is, leaving his church. That's all tonight. 877-876-PHIL, affiliate spotlight tonight on San Antonio's KRPT 92.5 FM. The great people in San Antonio airing our station, as well as in Wichita, KQAM 1480 AM, longtime Phil Hendry supporters there in Wichita, Kansas. Thank you so much for being a part of the Phil Hendry Radio Show Network. So I have not only that flyer, but also the story out of Flint, Michigan, and hanging on the line with us first from the South Bay is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and from Northern L.A. County, I believe up the valley there, is Dave Oliva, and we thank both of you gentlemen for joining us tonight. Jay, how are you?
I'm real good, Phil. Good to be with you.
And Mr. Oliva?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Dave, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing good. I have a bit of a problem hearing what you're saying, but it's good to be on tonight to talk about this.
Okay, Dave and Jay, the city of Flint, Michigan, is hosting a free two-day training session for anyone interested in joining the Blue Badge Patrol. The training sessions are for residents interested in being a volunteer at one of the city's police mini stations, a neighborhood crime watch, or the Flint Police Volunteer Program. The sessions will be held on October the 9th and October the 16th. Now, residents in Flint have had to face several cutbacks on city services due to budget shortfalls. The city is currently $1.43 million in the red. The shortfall reflects an expected revenue shortfall this year of nearly $860,000 and expected spending deficit next year of nearly $570,000. And the mayor of Flint said that all the city departments are working to trim from 10 to 12% from their budgets. And that would include police and fire, although firefighters will get a 3% wage increase negotiated during their contract talks in 2008. I'm going to start with you, Jay. As a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, you have familiarity with the idea of volunteer police corps. Can you tell us what you think of this idea?
Well, we looked at this today, Phil, and it was part of something that had come over the Internet, and I was apprised of it by Major Elvis Newton. He had handed me a copy of it, and I don't think too much of it, and I'll tell you why. First of all, people in Citizens Auxiliary Police, which is our auxiliary police unit, we don't consider ourselves volunteers. We do not take a salary per se, but that's only because we are very motivated to assist and to augment the activities of police. We are able, through our Citizens Auxiliary Police Corps, to do the things police don't have the numbers to do, whether it's to sit in a restaurant and simply have a meal and listen to the people that are talking around. And, you know, if you hear something that is going to cause a public disturbance or something, of course you do want to go over and, you know, ask those people what to talk about. If there's a young lady dressed inappropriately coming out of the mall, is she going to cause some kind of a reaction among a lot of dirty old men, you know, in the town? These are things that they can't do. And can I say something, Mr. Henry?
Hold on for just a minute.
Yeah, I'll finish in a minute. And these are things that we do. We specialize in. We do flare drops, so we can check the under chassis of a SUV if there is a woman driving that SUV who is of a weight that is a dangerous weight, and especially if she has children in that car. We're going to have to remove her from that vehicle, and certainly have to impound that vehicle. These are things that no volunteer, you know, I don't know what they think they're doing, but...
Well, it sounded to me a lot like what you guys are doing. They're asking citizens...
No, it's not, it's got nothing to do with what we're doing. We're not asking citizens anything. I handpick the people we got, and these are all men who live, you know, on my street or a couple streets over. One of them I know lives a couple streets over. One of them lives on Major Elks Newton Street, but... It's not about living on the streets, but these are men that I handpick. So they're not volunteers.
And but what about they're even, it seems like, using a blue badge?
Well, that is also something that we're going to have to look into, because if they are confusing themselves purposely with Citizens Auxiliary Police, Michigan River Patrol, New York City Light Police, the Gator Brigade, the Beaver Brigade, or the West Texas Range Riders, or any other volunteer police agency, we got something to talk about. But that's neither here nor there.
All right, Dave, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I want to say that it's pretty interesting listening to what Mr. Santos, I think.
Jake Santos, yeah.
What Mr. Santos was saying. I'm training to be, I hope to enter the L.A. Police Academy. Let's talk reality. Let's talk about what, you know, the police need. First of all, I do not recommend volunteer police agency. I'm sure they're very well-meaning, but what we need out there are police officers. We need a lot of police officers. And we also have to find a way to save money on our police service. So it seems obvious to me that we need to put more police officers in training, but also to cut back on the amount of time that it takes to train a police officer. There's an awful lot of time being spent, I think, on meaningless training. A lot of this has to do, quite frankly, Mr. Henry, if you don't mind me using the language of the street, a lot of this has to do with training a police officer how to be nice to a scumbag.
That part I'd probably agree with.
Yeah, well, hold on for a minute.
What do you mean by being nice to a scumbag?
Well, I mean, don't cuff him too tight and make sure that he's comfortable. And, I'm not saying don't read him his rights. Of course you read him his rights, but... let me put it to you this way. I think we need to spend less time wasting time talking to police officers about how to make scumbags feel good about their life, and more time training them in the proper use of a taser.
And all right, let me ask you something here. We had a police officer in Oakland pull his service revolver instead of a taser.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Wait. You say cutting back on training. Yeah, it sounds to me like they need more training.
They need to cut back in certain areas of training where they're learning how to, make sure the guy is comfortable, don't bump your head, all of these things that you hear police say. I'm not saying don't train a police officer to know the difference between a service revolver and a taser. Of course you have to learn that. But I'm also saying you have to train a police officer to, hey, you know something? I say use the taser more and don't be all about making some old lady, feel good. They make officers study way too many books and manuals on laws and stuff meant to make the suspect feel all comfortable. And all we want to do is go out and bust them.
Let me add something here. This gentleman here is talking about, more police officers and less training. Boy, if there's anything we don't need, we need more training.
And, see, you're a volunteer policeman.
Hold on for a minute. I'm not a volunteer policeman. I started Citizens Auxiliary. Well, actually, Major Elvis Newton did.
And, well, that's fine. And.
Well, Dave, just let him finish there.
Yes, sir. Sorry, but we are Citizens Auxiliary Police. We know special techniques on how to help people get through rain, for instance, by oiling their tires. We know how to... look through a woman's purse. We know what to look for if we're going into someone's home. We know how to do a search in a home without necessarily having to get no search warrant by using our, being friendly and sort of talking to people and making our way in the house. We just know things that a policeman don't know. But
you violated, in Dave's case, he's talking about less training when it comes to the law and more, you know, manuals on how to, you know, arrest guys. You're talking about quasi-constitutional. It sounds to me both of you guys are talking about less emphasis on the law, more emphasis on kicking ass.
No, I'm not talking about that at all, because everything we do is legal. And
I don't think it's legal if you go into a house and you don't have a search warrant.
It's legal if they let me step in, and once I'm in, then I'm invited in. And that's the thing. And I know how to go through, you know, and I'll be very honest with you. If I got to go through an underwear drawer, if I got to look through a woman's underwear drawer, that's going to be very, very sensitive to the family involved. So I do it in a way, in a manner that is not going to be offensive. And
going through a woman's underwear drawer looking for what?
Well, that was the subject of the conversation we had, Mr. Henry, with regard to sex crimes that may be committed by the husband.
Okay, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the need for some municipalities, some communities to cut back on police protection because of expense. Jay Santos is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They are an unpaid auxiliary police unit created by just citizens. Dave Oliva is aspiring to be a police officer. He believes we need more cops, less training when it comes to the law, and more training using tasers, I think is what you said, Dave.
Well, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think we're living in a society that's becoming more and more, like, worried about tasers. We should be using a taser more so you can put a suspect down, like that old lady in Texas or that old man that got tased, and less worrying about a scumbag that you know is going to go to jail. I'm not saying the old lady's a scumbag. There's too much worry about scumbags and not enough worry about arrest. And that's what I'm saying we need. And Mr. Santos with his auxiliary police is fine, but he's not a real police, you know.
Well, you know, between the two of us, Mr. Oliva, is it?
Dave Oliva.
Mr. Oliva, sorry. Between the two of us, I'm more of the police officer, because I'm talking about using my personality and my people skills to do things as sensitive as look through a woman's underwear drawer or go through her purse, or if need be, on some occasions, we've had to give physical exams to elderly women, and they're very, very invasive. And yet I've been able to do all of this. And
what physical exams to elderly women?
When we had there was a menopause awareness, I think, pamphlet that went out, how it might affect people driving, things like that.
That's what I'm saying, Mr. Ernie. This is, you can't. I mean, what are you going to do, man? You're going to have volunteers out there, looking at, you know, doing exams on old ladies. We need police officers, but we need them to bust heads, And
all right, I hear what both of you are saying. On the one hand, Mr. Santos, you're saying we need more people skills among our more volunteer cops with more people skills. And
no, not more volunteer. We need more police auxiliary guys like me. I didn't volunteer. I decided that I'm going to do it, right? And
what if somebody wants to volunteer for Citizens Auxiliary Police?
We handpick them. You don't come to us. We go to you. And we do something as simple as we may just drop a card on your desk. And when you look up, we're gone. We may do something as simple as that. Drop a card on a table you're having lunch at. When you look up, who put the card there? We're gone. That's how I roll. I don't know about nobody else.
Well, I don't understand that. To me, it's more, you don't need more than a high school education to be a police officer. And the basic technique of how to put handcuffs on, fire a weapon, use a billy stick, that's it, and go out.
But the legal questions...
No, we are... I'm just talking about right now, We don't need that right now.
877-876-PHIL. So one of these guys, Dave, sounds to me like he wants to go back to the old days of policing, the pre-Miranda Rights days, where all you need is a high school education, a billy stick, a service revolver, and let's go to work. And in the case of Jay Santos, a citizen's auxiliary policeman, he wants the right to continue to investigate by going into people's homes, looking through their underwear drawer, looking through their purses, asking them questions, conducting gynecological exams and so forth. They're completely a volunteer. There's no salary paid to these guys. But they, as he said, you know, they talk their way into a house. I think a lot of this stuff is very quasi-constitutional. But we'll get your thoughts on this as we look at this crisis. Is there enough money for police? What do we do? Do we retrain cops right out of high school, a little less on the book work, a little more on the taser, or do we use guys like Jay Santos? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I thought I was going to be on the show by myself. I don't get where...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and along with him is Dave Oliva. Dave is an aspiring Los Angeles police officer. He's taking law enforcement now at L.A. Canyon College. And I would say, before we ask Jay and Dave to sort of pitch their sides, I'd ask my audience, right now in the city of Flint, Michigan, and I imagine in other cities across the country, budget cuts are forcing towns like Flint to cut back on police services. Do you feel that Flint's answer, which is a volunteer corps, or something more than that, Jay Santos's Citizens Auxiliary Police, is the answer? Or do you agree with Mr. Oliva, who says that the police should be trained less? We need more of them out on the street. Police officers don't need more than a high school education, a taser, a gun, a billy stick, and the basic Miranda rights. Dave, go ahead and make your pitch, and then Jay, we'll get to you, okay?
Well, I was hoping I'd go...
Hold on. Dave, go ahead. You first.
Mr. Henry, here's my feeling. We need police officers, and budgets are being cut back. Okay. You know, that's the truth of the matter. There's nothing you can do about it. Don't cry about it. Don't whine about it. They don't have the money. They don't have the money. So my feeling is that the starting salary for police officers be lowered by just maybe a couple of percent, so that you can save that money, spend less time on the training, because that's very, very cost, money eats up on it, and put the police out there, and let's get back to policing, so that we get scumbags, excuse me for saying that, but let's get the scumbags off the street, and if an old lady gets tased, or, you know, a little kid, nobody... or that old man who got thrown up in the air, that's very unfortunate, and I do not like that, and I do not approve of that. But I think you have to accept for every old man that's going to have seriously be slammed down into a parking lot, you're going to save a lot of lives. And as far as the, and that's all I got to say, really.
Okay, Jay?
Right, Phil. My feeling is very similar to this. We do need the Citizens Auxiliary Police save lives because there is not money available for more officers. We've always needed Citizens Auxiliary Police. Even if you had billions and billions of dollars and you had all the police in the world, you'd still need me, because what I'm able to do, I'm able to go up and down a line for people waiting to see The A-Team, for instance, which is a very violent movie. I can spot the people wearing camo. I can spot the people wearing, you know, like biker, you know, live like a biker or what have you. And I can, you know, ask them, could you step out of line? I want to talk to you. You're not going to get no cop to do that because they're all worried about being sued and everything.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. How do you feel about this? Let's go to a phone call very quickly. Kathy in Chico, California. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that I truly believe that we do need more police officers, and the auxiliary services are just that, auxiliary services, support to the police officers in our community. But I disagree with the aspiring police officer that the police officers do not need education or training. Police officers are meant to uphold our laws. In order for you to do that, you need to know what our laws are. You need training, and most of all,
there's not enough money. There's not enough money to do it, so... You know,
right. So you want to put out police officers who haven't been trained enough, they're going to take a billy stick on man.
But they are trained to an extent, sir, while you want to just put them out with no money. And right now, ma'am, they don't have enough money to train enough of the police.
Our way, Kathy, is to put the auxiliary police officer out there who is a kind of, I understand you're a woman if you don't want to have your underwear looked at or anything like that, but what we're trying to do more than anything...
All right, hold on. We got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Phil Henry Show. We'll be back.
Phil Henry.
That guy cut me off, man.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And by the way, our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. That is the strong right arm of the Phil Henry Show, live streaming video of our show right now. If you want to watch us performing our show, and you can listen to the show right now, as well as get the download tomorrow, either at iTunes or at our website. We have our classic Phil downloads. We have our uncensored pre-show rants that you can download. Archives into the thousands of hours, video downloads. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. With me is Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police and Dave Oliva. And we were talking, and this is all brought on by the budget cuts that are causing some cities to have to cut back on police protection. It just, you know, I'm talking to you guys.
Phil, if I could interrupt you, because you asked us to explain what our feeling was, our stand. Do we need more volunteer? And I was talking to Mr. Oliva during a break, and we kind of want you, you know.
Yeah, we were hoping that you would give your feeling. What do you think?
Of the two?
Of the two, yes, sir.
I have to be honest with you, gentlemen. I don't think either plan, either cutting back on police training and having them just only have high school educations, etc., or your volunteer or your auxiliary police is the answer. I think we need to cut back in other areas. I don't think we ever cut back on police, ever. And there may be areas where the police are extending themselves, where we might be able to eliminate a program or two, and unfortunately, like working with neighborhood kids, I don't know. But basic police protection, I would never, ever, I would take the money from something else.
Unfortunately, Ms. Henry, that is not a possibility, and I will tell you this. One of the things that we offer citizens that a regular police do not is that we are able to we are the last line of the defense, and we can we're more effective at cops because every time a cop uses his weapon, they have to write down a paperwork. It's going to take forever for that police officer to get back out on the street. He's generally taken off street duty, put on desk duty. I only have to report to Major Elvis Newton, myself, or my sub-commanders. We either meet up with Major Elvis Newton once a week, generally a Thursday, either at his sweat lodge or at his hermitage. We go in one at a time and deliver our report, always certain to avoid eye contact with him, and then we leave. That's it.
Mr. Henry, just if you ask the question, I don't know who Major Elvis Newton is, you know. And
he's a gentleman founded a very effective organization, sir.
That may be well and good, sir. What I'm saying, Mr. Henry, there are ways to take the money. For instance, the fire protection, fire departments, I think for a long time, because of 9/11, fire departments were told, oh, you know, these guys are so special in this, and they are very special. There's no question that they're special, but I think they've been given all kinds of, you know, if you want to say having their butt kissed because of 9/11, I think if you get right down to what does a fireman need, he needs a hose and an axe, and that's it, you know, and you can cut way back on fire and give more money to the police. But that's never going to make up for a loss of personnel. So, yeah, more money for the police. Give us more tasers. Give us more, you know, weapons. And less time, wasting time, having to fill out the paperwork. What Mr. Santos was just talking about.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I would disagree with you there, Mr. Oliva. I think the fire department, if you say they got their butts kissed, I think they deserved to have their butts kissed. Amazing work. And we finally see what the firefighters go through. We never really knew. We never really paid that much attention to them. It was always about cops. Here, and we love our police, too, but those firefighters are special men and women. Here is Alan. Alan, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva and Jay Santos. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to let y'all know that if they cut back on the police protection, they're going to declare what they call blue law. That's when they're going to bring the National Guard in, and then we're going to have what you call a curfew. They're not going to let somebody like Jay Santos go around policing the place. You don't have a...
Well, it's unfortunately, well, that is the blue law. That's why we wear the blue armband. But we don't want to bring in... There's no need to bring in the National Guard. What we would do is simply go door-to-door and ask very, very, very briefly to come into your home, check through these areas that people do conceal things.
You don't have that authority.
Well, if you invited me in, I do. If you invite me in, I do.
You don't have that authority. You don't have the authority to go through nobody's house.
Wait, if you gave me the permission to come into your house?
No, they give you permission to come in, they can ask you to leave. You have no right to search nobody's house. At all,
well,
period.
I do not have the right unless if you invited me in and I said to you, is it okay if I, for instance, get a handkerchief? Then you say yes, then it's all right for me to go.
How does that give you the right to go through someone's underwear drawer?
What we're trying to do, Phil, if I could just have a moment, we're trying to do search without violating the Constitution or alarming the homeowner.
You don't have the right to search
the questions. We use questions that, if they answer in the affirmative, they give me a right.
And you made the statement that you stopped an SUV and you're going to ask the woman, you're going to confiscate her vehicle because she weighs too much?
No, we're only talking about the axle. As you know, sir, there's a load there are load limits on all vehicles.
Do you know what the load limit is? Tell me what the load limit is on a regular driver license. Can you answer that? I want to know what the load limit is on a regular driver license. Do you know what it is?
It depends on vehicle. It depends on vehicle.
26,000 pounds.
No, that's wrong.
All right.
26,000 pounds. That's 26,000 pounds on what vehicle?
Are you DOT?
Well, let's put it this way.
Are you DOT certified?
I'm closer to DOT than you are, sir.
And well, no, that's not answering his question.
Hey, just like I told you before, last time I talked to you, you ain't nothing but a T-shirt, and that's all you ever going to be.
No, sir. Well, you're wrong then, you're wrong now.
You don't have
you're wrong then, you're wrong now.
No, you're wrong.
I have the authority. You're wrong then, wrong now.
You need to stick with your neighborhood watch. That's what you need to do.
It's not neighborhood watch, sir. That's very insulting to call.
I'm telling you, they're not going to get rid of
it. Very insulting.
And they're going to declare a blue law. And when they declare a blue law, they're going to bring the National Guard in there. And
that's called a blue armband. That's called a blue armband, and we would have a curfew, but we would do it in a way that would not be offensive. Once
you,
of course, you're a different story.
You don't have the authority to do nothing. You're not a sworn-in officer. You don't have the authority to do nothing, sir.
Mr. Allen, you can hear the hysteria of this man. I'd have to take him down.
What do you mean, take him down?
He'd probably have to be taken into a three-step takedown.
Well, again, this man is asking questions that you have not answered to my satisfaction. They're all constitutional in nature.
I wear a blue armband. This guy just got done saying we're going to have blue armband laws. What have I been wearing for the last 10 years? Thank you. That's what I've been wearing for 10 years. Thank you very much.
Period. Your neighborhood watch, that's all you'll ever be.
Let me ask you, Alan. If you're hogtied in the back of my van, are you still going to be telling me that I don't have the authority?
You don't have the authority to do nothing, sir.
Yeah.
You don't have the authority to do nothing.
Yeah. If you're on your face,
I don't know what state you're in, but if you was in my state right here, they'd put you under the jail.
We've got the Tennessee now. Under the jail, we have the Tennessee auxiliary.
They're not going to let you police. They're not going to let you police the area that you live in.
TAU.
All you
we
have neighborhood watch.
In Memphis, we got TAU, Tennessee Auxiliary Unit. And that's
the bottom line.
Well,
Jay, what are you going to say when I get your officer, Jay? That's why you're
what
not
are you
a police
say?
Officer. You're going to be neighborhood watch. That's all you'll ever be.
Mr. Henry, I'd like to jump in on this.
Okay, I'm going to thank you very much, Alan, for your call. And very good point, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Go ahead, Dave.
First of all, this gentleman was saying, there's going to be like what they say, blue.
Talking about blue laws, and
hold on for a minute, man. He's talking about that the police would not, that they bring in the National Guard. There's no need to bring in the National Guard if we retrain our police officers to get back to the business of taking scumbags off the street and not turning it over to some guy like Jay Santos, And
you guys have spent a long time insulting me, and now we find out there's not enough police officers, and I'm all you got. How does that make you feel?
If I've got anything to say about it, no, you're not all that we got.
All you got? I'm all you got. People have called me gay. They've said I look like a queer. They said I look queer. And
I was one of the people that did that.
Yeah, he said I looked all, you know, F-word. And me and my sub-commanders looked like, you know, this and that. Well, I'm all you got.
No, no, you're not all I got, man. I got me. I got me, you know.
You got you, but everybody else got me.
No, I got me.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Wow. Here is Sam listening on KTLK in San Clemente, California. Go ahead, Sam. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Thank you for taking
my
call. I appreciate you talking on this subject. First of all, regarding Jay and the Auxiliary Police Force and regarding Mr. Olivar, I understand the spirit that they want to achieve in terms of protecting the society, but they have to understand that this is completely wrong what they're doing. What the Auxiliary Police Force is, there's zero accountability whatsoever, and it's a complete slippery slope.
That's
who's
going
to be accountable to him when he goes in?
We talked to Major Elvis Denton.
I'm sorry?
I'd already said to you that we do report to Major Elvis Denton.
You can, but if you're saying that you can go in and you can go in and do any type of searches that you want to, because you feel that you need to be able to do the search, who sets those protocols? Is there a state that sets the protocols, or are you setting them privately?
And we are setting those based upon what we see in the newspaper. Obviously, you know, accountability slows things down. I'm not trying to say, no, we don't talk to people. I do talk to Major Elvis Denton. But if we see every day there's no police, we got to find out what's going on. If I got to go and check in a van, see if there's little, is there a guy taking pictures of little girls? It's impossible.
Well, with the issue with not having police forces and not having resources, it's not true. It's not that we don't have resources. It's that the resources aren't allocated properly. Both of these points, whether you're talking about giving police officers less training and more tasers, or whether going with a private auxiliary force, whether you want to call it Blackwater, whether you want to call it Minutemen militias, whatever it is, it's no accountability.
Those are very political. We're not political.
Not at all. They are all precursors to a police state. That's exactly what it is. People start off small. It's based on fear, and then they slip down this road because all you do is you prey on the fear of people because you use terms like
I think you got us wrong.
Hogtied in the back of a van.
No. Batman, I said I'd hogtie him because he's giving me a hard time. You know, I come into your home, and I say to you very nicely, Sam, you know, I don't want to have to. You know, is it all right if I look in the, you know, in this closet? I'm not kicking down doors.
No, but you're still... Are you going to say take no for an answer?
He asked the question in such a way so he's not going to say no. He's going, well, yeah, that's fine. So, I think you're a little paranoid, and I understand, you know, a lot of people paranoid these days. They don't have to be.
Go ahead.
Of course you're paranoid because you're the one asking for the power. It's not like you're giving it to anybody else. It's not like you're offering even transparency. You're saying, based on my opinion, I'm going to go in and search somebody's... I want the authority to be able to go in and search somebody's house.
Let me give an example of what we're talking about. We had a series of automobile accidents out on the 405 one weekend that had to do with SUVs losing wheels. We wanted to test the theory that it was weight-bearing. So we did do a flare drop. We got a lot of these very large... You know, I'll call it, you know, fat women. We're driving these SUVs, putting too much pressure on the axle. And, yeah, of course I'm going to get them out of that car, get their children out of that vehicle, and compound that vehicle until such time as we can, you know, get less, not have a fat man driving it. Now,
yeah,
some people say
who
that...
Who gets to make that decision? Who gets
well,
to
I got,
determine
I got
that decision?
Well, life and death situation, of course, I got to make a decision, you know.
But see, that's wrong, you know. This is Dave Oliver. And I think that, well, I know you're talking about a police state, but don't you think that it's better to tase a guy than sit there and play patty cake with him? I do.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'd rather pay.
If you genuinely believe that security and safety is more important than the freedom of our citizenry, then you might as well move to Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan, because that's exactly what they implore.
What are you talking about? Oh, that's nuts. Yeah, you're nuts. No way. No way.
Call it whatever you want to.
I don't believe
exactly
that either.
What it is. The America that I live in, the America that I live in doesn't just hand over all of its power to somebody who says, hey, you better be scared because I'm the one who's going to protect you.
Well, I think, sure, when we see that, you know, there needs to be a little bit of control. I'm not like no Iranian. I'm just, you know, citizens auxiliary police, but you're, you know, I don't know this guy.
Yeah, I think that tasing people.
Okay, thank you very much. And, Sam, thank you for your call. Very sobering thoughts. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. And you gentlemen talking, Dave and Jay, talking about the tasing of people or the going in through to a woman's underwear drawer. You got a lot of people out there that think the police are doing a fine enough job.
Police may be doing a fine enough job, Phil, but there's no money left for them. They cut taxes down. Nobody wants to pay no taxes, you know.
They don't want to pay no taxes, but they don't want to have you hog-tying somebody wearing a piss helmet, you know.
Well, guess what? I'm all you got. You know, I'm all you got now.
No, we got. I'm studying law enforcement to be a LAPD, okay?
They're not going to be able to hire you because they don't have enough money to hire you. And they're not going to put you out on the street with a billy stick and a gun and a taser and no information on how to use them.
Yeah. Talking about not how to use them, man, you know.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about, you know.
Well, what are you talking about, Jay? You're out there on the street. You don't even have an official commission to be a police officer.
Well, I'm all you got, though, now. I'm all you got, because they can't afford no police. So that one lady that called me, she said I looked like a fairy wearing my pit helmet. I think she's going to come back, maybe think a little bit more about it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos and Dave Oliva talking here about, do we need fewer cops and less money? Do we need less cops and more volunteers? Because these cities cannot afford to pay the police during this recession. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, an art exhibit in Colorado is causing a stir for depicting Jesus in a very controversial way. We're going to be talking with Reverend Dave Castorini about that and his youth ministries and problems that he has encountered as well. It's very, very controversial. With me is Jay Santos and Dave Oliva. Jay with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Dave is a student of law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College. I'm going to put to you, gentlemen, in the time we have remaining, a hypothetical, and I think I need for you both to address how you would handle it. You, Dave, advocate more police at less pay and less training, saying basically all our cops need are more billy sticks, more tasers, more guns. You, Jay, advocate the auxiliary police route, saying, quote, you're all I got.
Well, it's true, Mr. Innit.
All right, hold on. So, and as a auxiliary police officer, we would have no police. We'd have you. So I want to start with Dave. How would you handle, Dave, a hostage situation where a man is holding, let's say, a woman and child in a house?
Well, that would be a tactical unit responsibility, Mr. Henry. You're asking me about a tactical unit. You know,
no, but it's police work. How would you handle that?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would do is I call in a tactical unit, if you've ever heard about it, Special Weapons and Tactics, otherwise known as...
Yeah, it's called SWAT. I heard about it.
I was going to, if you allow me to say it, because I'm the one representing police.
I know, but you said it.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I wanted to say it. It's called SWAT. And I would call in Special Weapons and Tactics, at which time I would then use a flashbang as well as a stun grenade and just storm the window, everything, you know, just go. And
well, would you determine where the woman and the child are?
You could do that, yeah. But you've got to figure that they're going to be in the living room because the guy, if he's taken a hostage, he's going to want to watch TV and he's going to want the people with him, so he's most likely in the living room. But I would just go with a flashbang and then go in, you know, and...
But sending in the special weapons and tactics?
What?
The special weapon...
Yeah, you send them in, and everybody, but not pussyfoot around. I mean, the police, they push, like, look at the SLA shootout. They're all, hey, come on out. You know, do you want a turkey sandwich? What is that about? What is that about, you know? I would have just gone in and just, and when they did not have no hostage, neither.
All right, Jay, you.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah, what would you do?
Well, Phil, because we are the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we do, we use our wits, as well as, yes, I can, if I have to, kill with my bare hands, and I don't want to have to do that.
And how do you do that?
Well, I'm sure you've seen how they twist the neck, you know, just the head goes backwards. I don't know how, what it's called, but...
So you'd go in and twist the guy's neck?
No, no, I would first use the voice command, which is... Get out of there now. Get out of there now. Or, as I said to you on a show the other day, put your hands up and come around. But you were laughing at me then.
What are you talking about, man? Twist their neck.
No, you twist the head around so it's backwards. And
Phil Hendry.
Really?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's part of the reality of a university
campus. The city of Los Angeles already ordering 10,000 jetpacks.
This particular piece of art is offensive in so many ways.
When she was dropped off, I stayed with her, and the guy took off.
You know how many people like guns and dip?
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And every night through the looking glass we go, going places other talk show can't go. And again, our number 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhendryshow.com. PhilHendryShow.com provides you a look at really the only radio show we humbly would submit is worth looking at. Our radio show, when you look at our radio show, you're actually seeing something that's going on. You're seeing something rather different. And so to see that, get a backstage pass, all right? You'll also get thousands and thousands of hours of audio downloads. Our archives going back at least to 1997, 96, and some even before that. And we're turning it all into downloadable material. This will be the first time, I think, in the history of any radio station, any radio website, any radio show website, anywhere, where so much material will be downloadable. Not only that, you can take us mobile tonight. If you have an Evo phone, if you have an Android phone, you can watch our video cast wherever you are on your Android or Evo. And with the iPhone, we are going to make our on-demand video available very, very soon. PhilHendryShow.com. This is a story, this is even for a guy like Phil Hendry, who is not the most religious guy in the world. I don't like this. I have my, you know, I don't believe in censoring art, but I do believe that artists should at some point answer, that is, be with the work of art, be with the creation, and explain it somehow. Give it some context. Be there so that people are just not left looking at something that they think is very offensive, that they feel offended by. There's an art exhibit depicting Jesus in a sex act that is sparking outrage in Colorado. I support the arts. I think artists more and more need to be answerable, though, for their art. And I'm not saying put them on trial. I'm saying be there, man, with your exhibit. Be there with the piece of art. So if someone's angry, you can say, may I explain to you where I was going with this? These are people that are in a art gallery, so maybe they'd want to hear your answer. Instead, these cats make these things. They stick them out there in the world. Some fool decides to put it into an art gallery. This is an art exhibit that, at least in one part of it, it depicts Jesus engaged in oral sex with another man. Now, you know how the Muslims feel about Muhammad, which is basically if you even render him in a painting, you are subject to some sort of discipline, right? That's what they do. And because they've said that, people don't even go near Muhammad, man. They don't even go near him. But Jesus, he's still fair game. So here's some guy that's got Jesus engaged in oral sex with another man. In this image, the word orgasm appears beside Jesus' head. And you can well imagine people got pissed off. One lady took a crowbar and battered this thing. She had a crowbar under her jacket, struck the plexiglass, shielding the piece repeatedly till it broke, and then she destroyed the artwork. And police have just made an arrest. We found out before the show they just made an arrest in that, piece of vandalism, in that incident. Loveland City Councilman Daryl Klassen spoke with Fox and Friends. Well, you know, I wish that we could get some audio from something a little more objective than Fox and Friends. But anyway, it's okay. Explaining why he is taking issue with the artwork depicting Jesus. Why are you taking... You're on Fox and Friends, sir. Why don't you like this? Well, here is why he doesn't like it.
This particular piece of art is offensive in so many ways. You look very carefully at this and see what it actually depicts, and this becomes incredibly offensive, repugnant. It is slanderous to the morals of a great deal of the community. There are also words attached on this particular piece of art. I can't repeat those words here, but you put those words in conjunction, and they're in Spanish and in English. You put those words with what the pictorial display depicts, and this will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
All right, so that is the councilman, city councilman of Loveland, Colorado, Daryl Klassen. Joining me now from the Castorini Ministries is David Castorini, Reverend David Castorini, a youth minister here in Southern California, starting a couple of new youth ministry camps in Minnesota. And Reverend Castorini, good evening.
Hey, Phil, God bless you, and good evening. Thank you for having me on.
You got it. This is not anything that is too far removed from your own experience, this piece of art that depicts Jesus in a sex act?
Well, I think it is, Phil. And I think it's a lot removed. What I mean is that this is a blasphemy. There's no question that it is a blasphemous piece of artwork. I don't even call it art, Phil. I don't know what you would call it. It is an insult to anyone who is a Christian. I think it should be an insult to any American who values the ideas of free speech. And, you know, I heard you during your pre-show. I think you made a very good point when you said that, why is it all right to continually insult our Lord Jesus Christ, but you can't do the same with Muhammad or some of the others? I don't want to see religious bashing. I don't want to see anything that is blasphemy, but to do this against Jesus Christ, Phil, to my way of thinking, is just an outrage.
All right, but you lost 500 members of your own congregation recently, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Phil. Yes, I did.
Tell me how that happened.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I trusted a young man in our church to hold on to funds that we were going to use for our youth ministry that you were just mentioning, starting up in Edina, Minnesota, this winter. And we're looking forward to it still. But this young man held the monies. I asked him to put it into a separate savings account for a new David Castorini Youth Ministries, Minnesota. I asked him to make sure we had enough money for our airfare for myself and 10 of our youth ministers. I also asked him that we make sure we have enough money in there to help us with lodging for the first few months while we build our own facility on site. And I used bad judgment. I didn't trust, I don't think, in God. I think I trusted in an individual who I thought was trustworthy. And this young man left with this money.
He stole it.
He stole it.
Was he apprehended?
Yes, he was. We had him apprehended, and the money was not recoverable, though. But before any of that happened, I had to make a decision. Do I disappoint some 2,000 young people in Edina, Minnesota, our youth ministers here in California, do I disappoint them and tell them that this is off, or do I find another way to make that money?
All right, now I'm going to hear that story. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Talking here with David Castorini about this $20,000 that was stolen. You made that money good, though, huh?
Well, I did, and I had to make a judgment call. I knew that there were artists out there that were doing these pieces of blasphemy, this artwork about Jesus, and I didn't want to go down that road. But I felt that the Virgin Mary, another symbol of Christianity, would be less offensive, and we would be able to recoup some of our money. Understand, Phil, I was under an awful lot of pressure. People were looking at me as if I had stolen this money. And they didn't think it literally, but they did feel as if I had betrayed a trust.
I understand. And you hadn't. You just trusted the wrong person.
I had trusted the wrong person, but I don't blame people for blaming me. But I needed to make good on my promise that on December the 17th, we would be in Edina, Minnesota, with 10 of our youth ministers, talking to 3,000 wonderful, young, Christian souls, starting up a brand new youth ministry there in the upper Midwest. And so we created this art exhibit with the Virgin Mary that did show her engaged in sex acts. And we charged admission.
Why not some other way of making this money?
We were looking down, Phil, we were looking down the double-barrel shotgun of time. I didn't have the time. I had to raise the money.
Who created this piece of art?
I wasn't going to force it on any of the other young people in our ministry. I did it myself. It's a sculpture. I'm not going to offend you by showing it to you. We have it in a gallery that we have rented. People can certainly come and see it if they want. I can give them that information off the air.
I don't want to publicize it.
Well, that's understandable.
Have you made the money back?
We have, yes.
How much did you charge admission to this? And you understand...
We charge $10.
$10 a person?
That is correct.
Well, $10 a person... I don't know how many people you had coming through the door.
Well, what happened was one individual who is a resident of Redlands, California, and I don't want to go any further into it, they did not want us to continue showing this, so they donated the balance of the money that we needed.
It was almost like you were blackmailing them.
I didn't blackmail anyone, Phil. This was a decision made by that person. They did not want to see this exhibited any longer, so they donated the balance of the money that we needed, and we took it off of display. And people can still look at it if they want to. It is $10 a viewing.
It's a sculpture of the Virgin Mary engaged in sex acts, did you say?
It is a sculpture of the Virgin Mary engaged in a sex act with more than one individual.
David, I've known you for a few years. You're a youth minister. You're a devoted guy. What possessed you to do this?
Well, Phil, I just heard you talking about freedom of expression.
Yeah, but is that you? I mean, when we talk about
no, it's not me, Phil. Of course, it isn't me.
But when we talk about freedom of expression, the honest expression of an individual, any artist, and I defend and I've seen some pretty crazy art. I saw what Paul Krasner did to Disneyland with his very famous fold out there in The Realist back in the 60s. I mean, he had Jumbo taking a crap. He had Snow White being gang raped by the seven dwarfs. And I, at my age then, I was 16 or 17, I thought it was hysterically, wonderfully funny. It didn't make me hate Disneyland, you know.
Well, then why can't you see what I did as being the right thing to do?
Because that's not you. I mean, you created a sculpture for people to view. Pay admission to view, so you could make back $20,000, and it's about the most hideous and offensive thing.
It was not Jesus, though. I did not use Jesus Christ in the sculpture, and I want you to know that. I used the Virgin Mary, so you've got a lot more leeway.
And she's having sex with multiple partners.
Well, I mean, I could get into describing it, but I needed to make some money. And Phil, I know how you feel, but we did make the money back, and we're going to be there in Edina, Minnesota on the 17th.
877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Pastor David Castorini. And we're talking to David Castorini here about this piece of art that he sculpted so they could make $20,000 to get their youth ministry back to Minnesota. Well, what is it? It's the Virgin Mary engaged in sex acts. It was, as he admits, a very desperate thing to do because they'd had the money stolen. So out of desperation to make this money back that was stolen, he sells admissions to look at a piece of sculpture he created that is blasphemous. 877-876-PHIL. Your calls with our guest, Reverend David Castorini, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show coming up.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You said you want a couple of tickets, right?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Joining me is Reverend David Castorini of the David Castorini's Youth Ministries. Now, we've had this art exhibit in Loveland, Colorado, of Jesus engaged in a sex act. You, Reverend, actually created a work of art. Do you call it art?
I don't know, Phil. I call it the only way I knew how to save my ministry.
Well, you sculpted the Virgin Mary engaged in sex with multiple partners and sold admissions so that you could make back $20,000 that someone stole, ultimately to do a good thing, which is to open up this youth ministry. And yet I'm sure there's something in the Bible about ill-gotten gains.
No, well, hold on for a minute. When you're talking about the Bible, that's my territory.
Doesn't the Bible talk about a tree is known by its fruit? That you are going to...
The Bible talks... You're in over your head. That is about... The tree is known by its fruit. That's about if you have apostles. You see, 500 people left my church.
And what about those 500 people?
They left my church, and they're going to have to... Regardless of what they think of me, they will have to be rebaptized because they departed from God. I'm sorry about what I did, and yet I was able to save our youth ministry.
877-876-PHIL. Let's get to a phone call here in Toronto. Louise, listening on CFRB. Hello, Louise. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Phil. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Castorini, I have a question for you. How many people are in your congregation?
2,000. 2,000, you know, we don't keep hard and fast rules like that because I know... Some churches, almost as if they're a corporation, but we have anywhere, any given day, from 2,000 to 2,400 people.
And only 500 left you, Mr. Castorini?
That is correct, yes, ma'am.
But you should be ashamed of yourself. All of them should leave you, first of all. And how do you think that making money off of the Virgin Mary makes you a better person than instead of Jesus? Like, obviously, do you know who the Virgin Mary is?
I was hopeful that it would not be seen as blasphemous as...
Who would tell you that? What advice did you... From whom did you get that advice?
I prayed on it and thought about it a great deal.
You could not have prayed about that. Don't tell me that you prayed about that, sir. Where's your youth rally going to be? In Minnesota. Where's your youth rally going to be in Minnesota?
Well, I can tell that you are intent on doing something to perhaps stop it, and that's all right. It's in Edina, Minnesota. We have not yet put a time for the rally, but we hope to be in Edina on December 17th.
Well, I hope all the Christians in Minnesota and in the state, it's too bad that I'm in Canada, because I would be the first one who would come out there and protest against your rally. You're a disgrace.
But you haven't told me why.
I'm sorry to tell you.
You haven't told me why. I was able to save our youth ministry by making a judgment call.
You don't save a ministry by doing an evil thing like that. It doesn't make sense. You're either on one side or you're on the other side. And you know what? You're not on the other side right now.
It wasn't Jesus. It was Mary. And there are some who believe she could be fictitious.
No, whoa. Hold on, brother, because even Mary's in the Bible.
Well, Mary is in the Bible. You're right about that, yeah.
So what do you mean that she could be fictitious?
She's not
fictitious. Now you know that she's not fictitious. Let's not get ridiculous now.
We only worship one God. You know that we only worship one God. Are you Catholic?
Yes. We don't worship Mary. Mary is not worshipped. Mary is venerated. If you knew your religion or any religion properly, you'd know that Mary is not worshipped. She
is
venerated.
As a Catholic, you cannot have more than one God, though.
As a Catholic, we only have one God. Yes.
Well.
Mary is the mother of God, the mother of Jesus, who is God. Yes.
Don't you have statues to Joseph and Mary and a lot of others?
We do not pray to statues.
Well, wait. No, hold on.
No,
you can't, Ms. Castorini. You can't start attacking the woman's religion.
I'm just saying it's not God. It's Mary.
No, that's fine. No, he can go on because we do not pray to statues. If you knew our religion properly, we do not pray to statues.
I went in with a camera and I got some.
The statue represents
the
human being.
I got
okay.
I have video recordings of people kneeling and praying to statues in the Catholic Church.
We don't.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We're not here to indict the Catholic faith. We're here to talk to you about you sculpting, and you say Mary having sex with multiple partners. Who are the multiple partners? I think this lady should know.
The 12 apostles.
The 12 apostles.
Well, you know what,
Mr. Henry, you have taken my very good work and turned it into something evil in concert with this woman. And I think it's wrong.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Reverend Castorini. Thank you, Louise. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Were there 12 apostles or 11?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. In the midst of a story from Loveland, Colorado, about an art exhibit depicting Jesus in a sex act, we have on the line here David Castorini, Reverend David Castorini, the Castorini Youth Services, who had embezzled from him and his church $20,000 by one of their workers. In order to make that money back so their church could be on schedule for the opening of a youth ministries in Minnesota, he sculpted an art piece himself showing the Virgin Mary engaged in multiple sex acts with the 12 apostles. You have said, and I'm assuming here, Reverend, you didn't know how else to make the money back. You were, you were at a loss.
I really was.
You were, all right. And you also say that that you're sorry if it's offended people, but you continue to make money on it, don't you?
I continue to show it to people who want to pay, but we haven't had an on public display for quite some time. That's because we had that.
Well, you had an individual offer to pay you the balance of the money that you needed, so you just get it off of public display.
That is correct. Yes, but I want to say one thing, Phil. I think people have a right to be angry at me, but they don't have a right to judge me. Now, let me remind you of Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. So, unfortunately, right now, as it stands, I'm probably standing in better with God than you or the people or that one lady.
What do you mean you're in better with God than me? Presuming that such things exist, you know.
Well, they exist, all right.
You're telling me that God looks more favorably on you?
Because I am not passing judgment on you. You pass judgment on me. And you say you're not all that religious.
All I'm saying is that an artist should stand. If this is a controversial piece of art, like this one with Jesus, I'm just saying an artist should stand there and answer for his art. He should explain to people. He should do something to try and get to bring people closer to his art than just stick it out there like he just took a crap in the middle of the street and somebody's got to come along and clean it up.
But remember, Phil. Here's another Bible.
Well, you're going to bust out Bible verse.
I have one more. I'm a reverend with a church, so I've this is what I do. I bust out Bible verse. John chapter 7, verse 24, it says, do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment. So I'm asking you to look past the artwork. And the reason for the artwork, the reason is just. And that was to raise the $20,000 that had gotten stolen from me by a young man who, I must tell you now, I suspect was a homosexual.
No. You're not going to get away with that. You know,
I do suspect he was a homosexual, Phil.
No, you're not. No. You're not going to get away with that. You're not going to say the kid that stole the money from me was a homosexual, so that makes it really, really bad. So I had to do something to get that money back. So I sculpted the Virgin Mary having sex with the 12 apostles. That, to me, is specious.
You can say what you want, but I just quoted two verses of the Bible, and I'm going to be in Edina, Minnesota on the 17th. So you can stand here and talk to yourself, or we can get with it. We can get with it and convert 3,000 young Christians to a newer, higher state of being.
Well, I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about what you're doing in Minnesota. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Brenda in Jackson, Mississippi. Brenda, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Reverend David Castorini. Go ahead.
Hello. The only thing I want to say
Hello,
to
Brenda.
You is... Hi. The
yes.
only thing I
hi,
want
Brenda.
To say to you is I am a practicing black Catholic, and what you have done is despicable. What you have done, sir, is, I just can't imagine it. I mean, I feel sorry for you. I pray for you, because, see, there are certain things you just don't do, and what you have done, sir, is cross the line, and that's all I got to say about that. Have a good night.
You should take the log out of your own eye, Brenda. Take the log out of your own eye. And
well, you got a lot of...
First of all, Phil...
You got a lot of Bible quotations.
Yes, I do. Understand, Phil, this was money that had... We had already purchased these airline tickets, and we had purchased and had gotten a very good rate on first-class tickets, by air, a five-star resort hotel. Is that right? I don't know. Is it wrong? I don't know. But that was the money that had been committed. I've got to pay off a five-star resort. They're not going to let me hang any paper on them. And neither's an airline. And I'm talking a first-class seats to Minneapolis, Minnesota. And people are saying to me, I can't believe what I'm hearing tonight.
You sound as if you're very... taken aback.
Now, here is another quote. You don't want me giving quotes. I'm going to do it anyway. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. You, hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And what Jesus is saying there is...
You know, hold on for a minute, David, okay?
Jesus is saying, I've only got a speck in my eye. You have got a whole log. You probably got the whole forest. You've got log after log. You've got a whole timberland shoved into your eye.
All right, but David, understand, in order to raise this money, you had the Virgin Mary having sex with the 12 apostles, and you say because Jesus wasn't in this, it's okay.
I didn't say Jesus wasn't in it. I didn't make him the focal point. And
was Jesus in the sculpture?
Jesus was in the sculpture, but he's not the focal point. That's the point. About that is the purpose. I've got 500 people.
Well, what do you mean Jesus was in? What is he doing in the sculpture?
I've got 500 people, Phil, who left my church and have to be rebaptized now.
No, wait. You said that Jesus wasn't in your sculpture. Is he in the sculpture?
He is not the focal point, which is what was wrong with this Chaya, this Mexican. And
what was he doing in your sculpture?
He's standing on one side, and he's holding a video camera. And this, you know, the silence, I understand, Phil, because this is your way of dramatically increasing the tension on your show. And
no, I'm stunned.
You are a man who has engaged in, I would say, some very, very questionable radio. And you are...
I'm stunned.
He was fully clothed. Jesus is fully clothed.
I don't care, man. Holding a video camera... 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to another phone call. We have Rhonda. Hello, Rhonda. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Reverend Castorini.
Hi, Phil. I don't even care who he is. I just want to say two wrongs don't make a right. And
you heard that he was fully clothed.
That youth rally is not going to be blessed by the way the money was raised. And the more you do say, the more disgusted I am. And we don't have to judge him because God is judging him. God, he did not pray about that at all because that is the most vulgar thing I've ever heard. And the more you guys,
I had to raise the money.
He is disgusting, and he will not be blessed. And first-class tickets are not worth the Virgin Mary doing the 12 apostles. I'm sorry. With her son watching, that is disgusting.
Did you hear her language? Did you hear her language?
What do you mean her language?
Doing the 12 apostles.
Well, you're the guy that sculpted it, Reverend. You're the guy that created it.
What about this guy in Texas who has Jesus? And
That guy is an artist, and he's going to have to live and fall on the art that he creates.
That's who he is.
You are a guy who is a reverend who decided to exploit people's prurient interest to raise this 20 grand that, yes, it got stolen from you, which, by the way, I don't appreciate you saying the guy that stole it was a homosexual. You throw that in to get what, sympathy?
I'm saying that this lady, Rhonda, this will get her on my side. Did you know the man that stole the money from me was gay? Yeah. That got her on my side.
Chet, to the point where she hung up on you?
I think she heard me, but it already hung up. So I think that what I just said convinced her that, I'm probably okay, but she had already, the receiver was already in the cradle before. She'll probably call back.
No, it didn't get her on your side. It doesn't got me on your side. It didn't get me on your side because I do not believe that. In fact, it makes me think worse of you, Reverend, by saying, the guy that ripped me off was a homosexual. Lindsay, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Reverend Castorini. Go ahead.
Thank you, Phil. I have a couple things to say. One is going back to when you talked about the judgment. And then you said, no one should be judging anybody, correct?
That is correct. Now, in fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. So that lady Rhonda should have shut up. I don't mean to put it that way, but you know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, let me just say this. By you saying that you're better with God than anybody else is putting judgment on other people, which completely goes against the quote you said earlier.
Right.
Another point I have a question is was your soul...
No, that doesn't go against... I was pointing out how they went against it. I didn't go against it. She went against it. So I had to show how she went against it.
I have one last thing to say before I go. Number one, it really bothers me as a Christian that you would resort to such a low to benefit yourself and your church. Because to me, it should be God number one. And the Bible talks about walking by faith and not by sight. And you did not do that. You could have looked to God and said, God can get me through this. We'll find the $20,000. Maybe it's not his plan for me to do what I wanted to do with the money. And taking, just that mentality that he's going to walk you through this and taking it into your own hands. And being a Christian means that you're going to put God into the driver's seat, if you will, of your life. And in my opinion, you didn't do that. And to me, that's just
I didn't know what to do, Lindsay.
What a reverend.
I was lost, Lindsay. I didn't know what to do. The $20,000 was gone. I had all these kids, all these young people. I didn't know what to do.
If you ask for forgiveness, you will be forgiven. I did ask God. Selling tickets, because everybody makes mistakes, and everybody is sinful.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And you're not any better. I'm not any better than you are in any way, because God looks at all sin the same. All I'm saying is that when you recognize your sin and you recognize that you do something wrong, it's time to change it, and it's time to admit it and to move on and admit your fault, but not to continue to sell tickets.
You're absolutely right, and I have admitted my wrong, and I do ask God to forgive me. I'm just...
Why do you continue to sell tickets to me?
Well, it's what they call walk-in business. It's not what you put. It's walk-in. And
what do you mean, walk-in?
It's not business that we planned on, but every now and again we get some walk-in business, and they say, can we see it?
Yeah, but the lady is saying, and you said to stop showing this thing.
And I have.
Yeah, in the public display, in the gallery. But you're still taking people's money to show it?
It's walk-up business.
As a minister,
what do you mean walk-up?
You should be portraying God and the apostles and everybody as,
From now on, I will. From now on, I will. I just need to get this 20 grand.
Well, this is not the way to do it. I have one final question.
But I'll do it from now on.
You'll do it from now on. And you're still taking walk-up business.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead. I didn't hear you, Lindsay, because Mr. Henry is attempting to keep me from...
No, sir, I'm not. Go ahead, Lindsay.
I have one final question. If God was here, if he was before you, because, you know, in the end, you don't answer to me, you don't answer to Phil, you don't answer to anybody, but you do answer to him. And one question that I need you to ask yourself, whether it's tonight or whenever, you need to ask him, you know, did I do the right thing? Am I acting in a way that would bring other Christians to the Lord? Because I'll tell you this, is not what Christianity is about. And by you doing things that is not even with what the Bible says, it's only going to turn people away from him. And
Lindsay, I just want to say this one thing. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All I'm asking of you, Lindsay, is to love me. Just love me.
That's a little hard to ask people to.
I have a problem with your actions.
I need it.
I have a problem with your actions.
Right. Well, I've stopped. I do take some walk up.
No, you haven't stopped. It is still on. You have not stopped.
No, it's not on. I've stopped. The business trickles in.
All right. Listen, thank you very much, Lindsay. 877-876-PHIL. You know, Reverend, walk up business, it still trickles in. Reverend Castorini, as we talk about art that depicts religious, and particularly in Western culture, religious icons that are respected and beloved, and just exactly how much of this so-called art are we supposed to take? Reverend Castorini sculpting the Virgin Mary having sex with the 12 apostles so he could raise money for a youth ministry in Minnesota. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's The Phil Henry Show.
Please love me. Oh, love me, please.
Phil Henry.
David Castorini from Castorini Ministries, as we talk with Reverend Castorini about something that has caused 500 members of his church to depart, much along the lines of this Jesus and a Sex Act artwork in Colorado. You sculpted the Virgin Mary in a sexually compromising position with the 12 apostles and Jesus.
Let's hold on, Phil. I said that Jesus is in the...
He's holding the video camera.
That is correct, yes. I won't deny that. But Phil, can I read Matthew's?
Well, before you read Matthew, what we've got here is you saying it was good because it served a higher purpose, the $20,000 you were able to raise that got stolen for you or from you.
Well, it is something that we call religious emergency or a spiritual emergency where I had to sink to the level of the devil to outwit the devil. I outwitted the devil.
And a lot of people think you did the work of the devil with that sculpture.
No, in Matthew 6, and I won't bother you anymore. I won't bother you with the Bible anymore, Phil, if you don't want to hear it.
For a guy that sculpted this thing with the Virgin Mary, you talking to me about the Bible.
It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses, Phil. So if you don't forgive me, you are what we used to say, you're on a one-way ticket, hellhound. You got a hellhound on your trail. If you ever heard the old blues song about being hellbound, I got a hellhound on my trail. And you don't want to have that hellhound on your trail.
I don't have a hellhound on my trail. You do.
Are you a priest? No. Are you a reverend? No. Do you have a ministry like I do in two states? No, you don't.
8778. No, I don't. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to another phone call here. This is Max in Houston, Texas, listening on KPRC. Go ahead, Max. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir. My point is, every scripture he's quoted you, Phil, he's taken out of context for his own needs. Now, I'm a pastor myself.
Right.
And he has taken every one of them, and his selfishness has made it work for him, for all his own good. Now, he's going to say,
Bobby, works for everybody.
Now, you let me talk. I've listened to you talk, sir. I've listened to you talk for the past 30 minutes. Now, hush. Let me have my say. Then you can have your say.
Yeah.
You have taken every scripture out of context for your own selfish needs. There you go. You're over-talking me. You're not listening.
Let the gentleman talk, okay?
How are you, you foolish Galatian? You remember that? You have.
What?
You're like the Galatians. You are. Remember Paul talking to the Galatians? What did he tell them? Oh, you foolish Galatians? Paul.
What is that, a song?
It's the Bible, Paul and the Galatians. You don't remember the...
We are talking Bible. We are talking Scripture. Not Bible.
Right.
We're talking Scripture. Let's get it in context. Let us get it in context. You have taken every scripture that you have quoted out of context for your own
selfish needs.
Would you have to be quiet, Reverend, and let the man finish?
Go ahead, sir. You are over-talking me. Let me finish. Then I'll give you your say. You have taken every scripture out of context. Every one of them, you have quoted Bill Hendry, you have taken out of context. You yourself are judging, as you just told, take the log out of your eye and all that. You are doing the same thing. To every caller you have talked with, you have put the log in your own eye. You have not listened to them. Now you are totally out of context with your scriptures. You're making them fit your own selfish pride needs, my friend. And that is not correct. If you are a pastor, then get in line with Scripture and don't do this no more.
Right. We got to take a break. We have to go. I appreciate it very much, sir.
I just want to say, Phil, that I respect what this man says, but you must cease the lies. And
he's not lying.
Can I get out our website? If we do get some walk-up business...
Just get out of here. 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Hendry Show. Fox and Friends falls for fake news report next.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Only the good die.
The city of Los Angeles already ordering 10,000 jetpacks.
It's part of the reality of a university.
It was
camp.
A nightmare and a half.
Stop crying, you sniveling ass. Stop your nonsense.
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
Yeah. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places no talk show would dare go. Because we can. 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all your radio comedy needs. And with a backstage pass, you can watch our live streaming video of the show right now, listen to live streaming audio of the show, and grab a hold of those podcasts. They are fast and furious. We have podcasts of every single show available over at iTunes, and you can sign up for those podcasts on our website. We also have our Classic Phil podcasts that are free, and we have our mini daily podcasts. We have an uncensored rant podcast. We have downloadable archive material. It's all there. If you're going to spend money for a subscription site, don't do it unless it's ours. And I'm telling you that. Or porn, you know.
Yeah, I'd say porn.
Spend the money on either a porn site or ours. Spend it on both, the porn site or ours. Ours is a lot cheaper than a porn site. And to be honest with you, probably ours is a lot, you know, if you're going to spend the money, don't spend it on porn. Go out and find the real thing and just subscribe to our website.
Yeah, it's probably better, man.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our news hour here. Bud Dickman and... Robert Leonard with us.
How's your tummy feeling? You're all, my tummy hurts. How's it feeling?
Yeah. Was I being a baby about it?
No, but I mean, at what point you're going to quit complaining about it?
What are you talking about complaining about it?
Well, you all laying down last night, oh, my stomach. And then you go out and get black and prime rib, man.
Yeah, that was weird.
My stomach was feeling loud. I don't know what happened, but my stomach I had, I'm pretty sure it was food poisoning. I've had food poisoning before. I've had the flu. I know the difference.
Yeah, but you didn't throw up or nothing.
Do you have no diarrhea or anything about it?
Well, no, but I don't know that I want to broadcast that, okay?
Because that's a pretty sure sign.
Yeah, if you have if you live in a river of brown.
Will you guys shut up? No, none of that. But the fact is, whatever it was I had on Sunday night, it has carried through to I feel a lot better today. And yes, I did have blackened prime rib for dinner, okay?
What is that about? That sounds like almost like you were trying to get food poisoning again or something.
Where'd you have it at?
I don't want to say where I had it at, but I will say it's, you know, a good restaurant. And it was very good. And no, I ain't trying. What are you talking? I know the restaurant. It's a good restaurant. The place where I got the food poisoning, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know that. I wonder you got food poisoning last year.
I got that from, well, just never mind. Why are you bringing this stuff up, man?
You're all like, oh.
You did last night, man.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did. Last night, you get off the air and you go, oh, help.
Bud, you're a liar, okay?
No. Ask Robert.
Well, it wasn't doing that bad.
My stomach was bothering me. Yeah, I'm not going, oh!
Sound like it to me.
Well, it wasn't, okay? I don't know. I got a very delicate stomach. What do you want from me, man, okay?
But y'all should be shoveling all that stuff in it, man. You should start eating more healthy and everything like that.
What's unhealthy? Let me tell you something, my friend. You know I'm on a mission from God. I'm going to lose some weight, right?
Yeah.
All right. If you are on a pure protein diet, which is basically what I'm doing, and I'm having a little bit of carbos here and there, you know, it's that one that Rance sent me, although I am cheating Rance, I'm, you know, having a little bit of sugar, because forget it, man, it just, you know, there's no way, I gotta have sugar, that's just all there is to it. But I'm, you know, I'm gonna drop a lot of weight, man, and the fact is, that's pure protein, okay?
Yeah, prime rib got all kind of fat on it, though. Are you sucking on the fat?
Am I what?
Do you, or do you not, cut off the pieces of fat and suck on them?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man?
You didn't you say you used to do that?
No, I didn't say I used to do that.
Well, who the guy that used to suck on the fat?
I don't know who it is. It might have been that Roland Schwinn guy.
That's the guy, yeah.
That ain't me.
Yeah, he would delicately cut off the pieces of fat and then walk around sucking them on sucking on them all day like they was a cough drop.
Oh, bull crap.
He did.
That's what he claimed, anyway.
You know what, man? You're high on life.
Yeah, I love life.
Yeah, and you're high on something else, too. Oh, God.
What?
Cut off the pieces of fat and walked around sucking them on them all day like they were cough drops.
Now, that guy, he's a fat ass.
Fox and Friends falls for ruse alleging purchase of a $1 billion of jetpacks for LAPD Fire Department. This is just another example, ladies and gentlemen, of traditional news gathering agencies in the rush to compete with the fast and furious and unchecked and wild west of the internet. They are now allowing themselves to be corrupted by the same lack of verification that blogs and news sites on the internet allow themselves to be corrupted by. But for some reason, I like it when it's done by these Wild West shows on the internet. When it's a long-standing, credible news organization, you look like a jackass when you guys do it. You have to adhere to the same standards you've always adhered to. Quit trying to be Gawker, okay? Because when you guys try to be the network television's answer to the Drudge Report, you wind up looking like a jackass. And that's what happened to Fox and Friends. And we've seen this before, folks. You've seen this before. How many times have you heard Captain Jenks from Howard's show call in and bust Peter Jennings or somebody like that back in the day, right? Or we even did it when we were on KFI years and years and years and years ago, and there was a freeway chase going on. And so we had this fake guy on the air talking about how he was in the car. We got a call from Channel 9. They wanted to put our feet on the air. They wanted to put my show on their air as we were doing a fake.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. And it didn't happen because one of the people in the newsroom, they didn't want to do that. They, you know, the news guys said, no, we can't. We got to have good relations with these guys. I'm asking him, I said, why do you have to have good relations with someone you're competing against? But anyway. However, here it is 2010, and these jackballs are still falling for it. It's a story that, by all accounts, should not have flown. Anchors at the Fox News National Morning News Show, Fox and Friends, reported on Tuesday that the city of Los Angeles had ordered 10,000 jetpacks for its police and fire departments, the price tag a whopping $100,000 per unit. Here is the audio from yesterday morning. Fox and Friends reporting on the phony baloney story.
The city of Los Angeles already ordering 10,000 jetpacks for its police, paramedics, and fire departments.
Are you kidding?
Can we afford that? The jetpack can fly up to 63 miles per hour and get as high as 8,000 feet in the air. It's looking better, Brian.
You don't want to run out of gas.
Yeah, but get this, the cost. $100,000. States, I mean, I'm all for, you know, buying stuff up and helping capitalism and all that, but states, do they have $100,000?
Well, they've already ordered 10,000 of them.
Well, yeah, I think Montana could order it. They're in a surplus, but I don't think California should. But here's my thing. You got to make up some rules because you could have jetpacks flying into choppers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you could, man. Jackass.
That's unbelievable, man.
Man, I wish they, how'd they find out about it? Well, hold on. For those doing the math at home, the cash-strapped city of Los Angeles, which is regularly sending its police detectives home because it can't pay all their overtime, allegedly shelled out $1 billion. $1 billion. That's how much 10,000 jetpacks at $100,000 per unit. Why didn't these cats check this?
Man, they have somebody like a producer checking into that.
They didn't, and they got all the resources in the world to do it. So anyway, it cost LA $1 billion on space age transportation that has never been used in an emergency situation, much less tested. We certainly haven't bought any jetpacks, said LAPD Chief Charlie Beck. We haven't bought squad cars for 2 years. At Gawker.com, as Gawker.com was the first to note, the Fox and Friends report appeared to contain material taken right out of a story from the Weekly World News tabloid, which itself it bills itself as the world's only reliable news source. Now, if you know anything about the World Weekly News, folks, the World Weekly News is the checkout stand newspaper that had the picture of Bat Boy. You know, every time you saw Bat Boy, you knew it was the World Weekly News. Remember Bat Boy, the little kid, the cave boy? And the World Weekly News is always Abraham Lincoln, you know, was contacted by UFOs. And the reason why people always would buy into the World Weekly News is because it was right there in the newsstand next to the Inquirer and these other newspapers, which had a little bit of credibility in the, I don't want to say, you know, trailer park.
Yeah, that demographic.
Yeah, the trailer park demographic. Now, and never ever did the World Weekly News ever call itself a comedy sheet, or did the Inquirer, for that matter, any of them. But the World Weekly News is exactly that. It is a comedy sheet. It's a comedy publication that was able to pass as a supermarket tabloid. And continues to the point where today, a story like this flies on Fox. If it had been in if it had been anywhere else, I bet you Fox would have found it would have you know thrown the 15-yard penalty on it. Anyway, apparently taken from apparently taking that slogan and the ruse to heart, which is the world's only reliable news source, Fox and Friends reported that jetpacks can reach speed of 63 miles an hour. Co-host Gretchen Carlson. Who? It's amazing that she was fooled, wasn't it? It's just...
What?
I'm kidding. Said that while she was all for buying stuff up and helping the capitalism and all that, she wondered whether the costs would be prohibitive in a bad economy. Not doing her math. Anyway, Brian Kilmeade wondered about possible safety issues. You got to make up some rules because you're going to have jetpacks flying into choppers. A short time later, the host did an about-face, reporting the LAPD was not buying the Jetson-style transporters. The media buzz around the jetpacks harkens back to the 1970s, when then-Chief Ed Davis caused a stir by declaring that he wanted the city council to invest in submarines to track drug smugglers. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, the music from the TV show Glee has soared past the Beatles. We'll find out exactly in what context. Rick Sanchez has said that he is sorry and other news stories. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
That guy on Real World.
Yeah. They had a guy on Real World. I'll check it with Rance. They had a guy on Real World named Puck, didn't they? Anyway, welcome back to our show. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm sure they did.
Yeah, that guy Puck used to pick his nose and stuff.
Yeah, and they like wipe it on people. What do you mean, wipe it on people? He did weird stuff.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Rance is here. Pick his nose. Puck was also on Real World. Is the same guy? Is the same cat? Or is the character? No, it's played by Mark Salling. Different guy. Anyway, so here it is. The cast of Glee have put more songs onto Billboard's Hot 100 than the Beatles. With six more Glee tracks debuting on the music tracking chart tomorrow, the Fox hit has managed to surpass the Fab Four in terms of the number of their titles that have landed on the chart. The Glee cast has put 75 songs into the Hot 100 since the series debuted last year. The cast's cover of Britney Spears' Toxic will arrive Thursday as the Hot 100's highest debut, number 16, having sold 109,000 downloads in its first week. The Beatles have 71 titles on the chart between 1964 and 1996. Okay, so this is 75. All right. Of course, the Glee cast didn't write any of their own songs, and a cover of the Beatles' Hello Goodbye is among the Glee list. Another Glee take on a Beatles classic, I Want to Hold Your Hand, was on Tuesday's show and will likely land in the Hot 100. The Glee cast is not yet the all-time Hot 100 record holder. Elvis Presley. I'm kidding around.
What are you talking about?
I'm kidding. Elvis Presley, 108, and James Brown, 91, are still ahead. Did I ever tell you, I didn't meet James Brown.
Did you interview?
I almost interviewed James Brown, yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, I've told the story, but let me put it to you this way. I was in a press tent, and I was there to be a part of a press conference with James Brown.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was in Washington. It was back in 1987, and it was a Vietnam veteran welcome home concert. Because in the mid-80s, there was a sense in the country that the Vietnam vets had not been treated well when they came home in the 70s, and so there was an official welcome home. And it was very nice. A series of concerts were done around the country. There were a lot of celebrities. I went to the one at the Hollywood Bowl, and then I was in Landover. And anyway, make a long story short, here comes James Brown. Now, he gets up on the riser, and understand, there's a group of press guys that we're talking to all kinds of cats. They were answering questions, this, that. But, man, when James Brown walked in, these guys just all, boom, shut up. And in comes James Brown and his wife, that beautiful brunette that he was married to. She's patting the sweat off his face. She's got his gold cape or whatever the hell it was, purple.
Yeah, it's generally a purple cape is what my understanding of it.
Well, have you ever seen it?
I haven't.
Man, I saw that one time. They did that song, Please, Please. They put the cape on him and they throw it off.
Yeah, that was all part of his act. Anyway, because I got to get to the story. Anyway, make a long story short, he walks up to the microphone. Everyone is dead silent. He's looking at the crowd, and the crowd's looking at him, and he's looking at the crowd. He finally says, any question? Like that. And it was very funny, because suddenly everyone realized how tense and stupid-looking they were, and relax the crowd, but
that ain't much of a story, man.
Yeah, I thought there'd be.
Well, it was for me, okay? Anyway, the cast of Glee, here's the one thing about having anything on the Hot 100, okay, if you'll pardon the expression. And that is that Billboard magazine has, over the years, charted the top 100 individual songs differently in terms of why is that number one? It used to be single sales. That was the 45 RPM that you've probably seen in museums and in archaeological sites. The 45 RPM. How many are sold? Okay, beautiful, fine. And that was pretty much the Hot 100 system throughout the 60s because they still sold 45s. 45s started to drop off in the 70s. And somebody said by the late 1960s, early 1970s, the number one purchaser of 45 RPM records were
adolescent black females. So those were the people that were the most buying 45s. And, of course, an adolescent black female is not buying Led Zeppelin, and Led Zeppelin really wasn't coming out with any 45s. By that point, album, album, album. So they had to find another way of tracking individual songs. And Mike Harrison, who's a guy who's in the talk radio business now, Mike Harrison came up with a thing called Top Tracks. All right, what are the tracks that are getting most play? And they would combine airplay with album sales, and they came up with an idea that way. And so it's tracked differently. And while I congratulate the cast of Glee, I hardly think that this is an equal achievement, only insofar as it's real weird, man. Anyway.
Well, that's not what you mean. That's just his bitching.
What is?
That they sell what they did because of the Beatles.
Yeah, but you can't say that's as good as the Beatles.
Why not? They sold as many.
They're not as good as the Beatles. They're selling records, but some of the records they're selling are Beatle records.
Yeah, but today people like them more.
Oh, I say, okay, bud. People...
You're out of your mind, man.
No, hold on, Robert. So people like Glee more than the Beatles.
Yeah, I think the people of today does. I'm not saying about any other time.
The people of today does.
Jeez. You're an idiot, man.
I'm not an idiot. I'm making more sense than what you said.
Glee's Puck, never mind. Glee's Puck, played by Mark Salling, covers Only the Good Die Young by Billy Joel, which is a crappy song, so, you know.
Only the good die young.
Oh, man.
You got a nice white dress and a party on your confirmation.
Right on, boys. Definitely going to wonder who the Canadians are from here on out.
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
Are you kidding me with that?
That's bitching.
That sucked. That's worse than Billy Joel. Wow. Anyway, it's fine. It's fine. It's great. So, and I ain't no Billy Joel fan, and...
Yeah, you were just saying you went and saw the guy in concert.
Yeah.
I said I saw him with Elton John. Aren't you guys listening? I seen that Elton John, Billy Joel concert down there at Pro Player Stadium, whatever the hell they're calling it these days, in Miami.
Yeah.
That's when I saw him. I went and saw him. I went because it was Elton John. That's why I went.
Yeah, well, Elton John, well, I better not say it.
Oh, he's gay? Is that it, man?
Well...
He's better musician than Billy Joel in my book, so... Anyway, I got nothing against Billy Joel, okay? Just not a big fan of his music. What the hell do you want me to say? All right, 877-876-PHIL. A woman accidentally glues her eyelids shut and human waste powers homes in Britain. Thank you and good night. No, we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Right on, boys.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show and our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Go get a backstage pass, which allows you to watch as well as listen to our show. Now, that may not sound like much because we have a radio show, and I'm sure you've seen Rush do his show, and I'm sure you've seen Glenn do his show, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of people do a lot of shows. But our show, our radio show, is the only one of any of them that is actually worth watching. And so I suggest that you get your BSP and take a look every night here, 9 o'clock Pacific is when our pre-show starts. So we're on the air with our video feed at 9, and it is uncensored. And those rants sometimes go up on the website as downloads. 877-876-PHIL. Former CNN anchor Rick Sanchez apologized to Daily Show host Jon Stewart. Now, this, of course, was reported the other day when Suzanne Sanchez, Rick's wife, said that her husband had talked to Jon Stewart. At that time, Suzanne Sanchez, who is, my understanding, a gracious lady, a good mother, good wife, said that her husband had a good talk with Jon Stewart. She said Jon was gracious. She said that he did call Rick thin-skinned. She said that he's right. Rick feels horrible that in an effort to make a broader point about the media, His exhaustion from working 14-hour days for 2 months straight caused him to mangle his thought process inartfully. I don't like that 14. I'm just telling you right now, I don't like the 14 hours a day, 2 months straight. Excuse me, bullcrap. I'm not saying that the lady's lying. I'm saying they didn't need to say that because, frankly, I don't believe it. And he might have been gone from the house for 14 hours. He ain't working 14-hour days. Now, why am I bringing all of this out? Because today came an official statement from Rick. And in the official statement, sculpted by a public relations outfit, and there's nothing wrong with that. You need PR people in this business to help you position yourself. You are a public personality, so PR is what is a part of the game. But in a statement released today, much of what Suzanne Sanchez said was in that statement. Much of what she said was in the statement. So, either she was testing the statement with the public, or they decided to incorporate into the statement the things that Suzanne Sanchez said. One of the things they did not incorporate into the statement was the 14 hours a day for 2 months straight bullcrap. Now, I don't mean to be beaten up on Rick, but the story is that, he apologized to Jon Stewart and anyone else that he might have offended with his inartful comments about a radio show during a radio show last week. And here is Rick's words. I am very much opposed to hate and intolerance in any form. I've frequently spoken out against prejudice. Despite what my tired and mangled words may have implied, those are the same words sort of mangled his thought process at Suzanne Sanchez, they were never intended to suggest any sort of narrow-mindedness and should never have been made.
Well, what are you doing, man? It's not like you're looking at some kind of, Watergate Kennedy assassination or something.
What?
Well, I mean, all he's saying is you're making it out like some kind of big conspiracy or something.
I was just comparing the two statements.
Yeah, but it's not like Kennedy got blown away.
I know it ain't like Kennedy got blown away. I'm talking about the fact that I'm just looking at the story here, okay?
Yeah, don't make it sound like, like in a 9/11 truth or something.
Who's making it sound like 9/11 truth?
Well, you're all like, ooh, look at this statement, ooh, and everything like that there.
I ain't going ooh, ooh. Just taking a look at her statement and his statement.
Yeah, so what? So what if she did say it? What the difference would it have made on account of it?
You know, you do a lot of making fun of me, bud. I could really lay into you with the way you talk, man.
You got a point.
What?
You ought to blow your nose, man. Let's start with that. Let's just start with you blowing your nose, okay?
All right. I'll blow my nose. Here.
Don't take my news story and blow your nose with that.
I don't have a handkerchief.
Go find one.
He's going to blow his nose with Rick Sanchez's story, though. That wasn't bad.
Is that right? Should I just move past the Rick Sanchez story?
Yeah, well,
let Bud blow his nose on it? Is that what I should do? Well, I ain't going to do that, Robert. I'm going to finish the story, okay? If you don't mind.
All right.
Anyway, he's upset that someone of my... You know what Sanchez said. So anyway, he apologized. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the full statement. We're not going to read it, but his full statement is a very, very gracious one. He doesn't use the 14-hour day. That's a good move. He said his tired and he did say he was tired, and his tired and mangled words may have implied they were never intended to suggest any sort of narrow-mindedness. In the aftermath of these comments, CNN and I have decided to part ways. Now, I saw a really interesting thing. Tom Jicca in the Sun Sentinel today, and that's the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel in South Florida. Tom, and the reason why Tom's writing about it from a knowledgeable perspective is because Rick was on the air in Miami. And Tom was very kind, but he did say the following. He said, well, you guys didn't part ways. You were fired, Rick. He says, however, I want to go on record to say that I have nothing but the highest regard for CNN. I have tremendous respect. There are no hard feelings. Excitement about my new future opportunities. And in the meantime, I look forward to promoting my book. So there you go. And that's the end of that, man. There ain't nothing else left, brother. Other than we do, hope that Rick lands on his feet, man.
You going to have him back on for an interview?
Probably not. Now then.
Why not?
Because I'm not doing those anymore. All right, here is Rick Sanchez as he recounts an incident at CNN where he says he experienced racism.
But deep down, when they look at a guy like me, they see a guy automatically who belongs in the second tier and not the top tier.
Because you're Cuban?
Because
American?
I had a guy who works here at CNN,
right,
who's a top brass, come to me one day and say, you know what? You know what? I don't want you anchoring anymore. I really don't see you as an anchor. I see you more as a reporter. I see you more as a John Quiñones. You know, the guy on ABC? That's what he told me. He told me he saw me as John Quiñones. Now, did he not realize that he was telling me, when I see you, I think of Hispanic reporters? Because in his mind, I can't be an anchor. An anchor's what you give the high-profile white guys, you know? So he knocks me down to that and compares me to that. And it happens all the time.
That happened. He said that right after Kanye West.
George
said,
Bush doesn't care about Cuba.
All right, now, the next cut here, Sanchez takes on a Comedy Central host who is Jon Stewart.
I think Jon Stewart's a bigot. I think
Jon Stewart's a bigot. Hold on. Now we're going to get into it. Jon Stewart, my old boss, my friend.
Yeah, I think he's a bigot.
How is he a bigot?
I think he looks at the world through... his mom, who was a school teacher, and his dad, who was a physicist or something like that. Great. I'm so happy that he grew up in a suburban, middle-class New Jersey home with everything that you could ever imagine.
What group is he bigoted towards?
Everybody else who's not like him. Look at his show. I mean, what does he surround himself with?
But listen, he picks on Jews all the time. He's a Jew.
Yeah.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
I just think it's important that people who are not minorities understand that those of us who are, and very few of us will say the things that I've just said, are actually more complex than they think we are, and we get
Stewart's
them.
A minority.
What's that?
As much as you are.
He's come on. How
he's
is he
Jewish.
A minority? Yeah.
Red
Jews. People.
Whoa.
Wow. But you're such a minority. I mean, you know, please. What are you kidding?
I'm
telling you that everybody who runs CNN is a lot like Stewart. And a lot of people who run all the other networks are a lot like Stewart. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority? Yeah.
Boy, what a headache.
Well, that's why you don't have a gig now, Rich. Or Rick. Richard. Dick.
Probably Dick.
Yeah. You are done, baby, and I don't say that with any glee because I've been in your shoes. I haven't created a national furor. I've just been out of a gig. It sucks. Sounds like you got a good lady in your life. You got great kids. Dude, you know, one of the knocks on Rick Sanchez, and let me just put this all into perspective and then we'll move on. One of the knocks on Rick Sanchez.
She's definitely a tramp.
Will you shut up with that, bud?
I thought you were talking about Rick Sanchez.
I'll do the drops, not you. One of the knocks on Rick is that he wasn't too bright. And what do we mean by wasn't too bright? What we mean is the following. We mean that he does not have a sophisticated view of the news that he reads and comments on. He doesn't have a deep or, if you will, a deep and a wide view of the news. He doesn't understand context, and you have to understand history. To intelligently comment on news, you have to know what came before as well as what you think will come after. You cannot do it from a People magazine perspective. You can't do it from USA Today perspective. And you can't fake having a show by simply having 9 million Twitter comments. That was the knock on him. And he proved it. He not only proved it, he also proved something else. That off the air and away from the studio, he's got a problem, man, with Jews. I don't care what he says. He thinks Jews are where they are because it's a good old boy club and only Jews help Jews. And I can tell you, man, I've worked in entertainment. While I've worked with a lot of Jewish people, I've worked with a lot of homosexuals, too. And I work with idiots like Bud. And the only people that I don't work with in abundance are black people. So I would say if there's a conspiracy, it's just among the whites, man. But I wouldn't even say that.
Yeah, you said you had a black guy on a TV show you was on.
What, Teachers?
Yeah.
Dion Richmond, yeah. What is that supposed to mean?
Well, that's good enough.
Oh, well, okay, man. I ain't even talking about that. I'm just saying. It's one thing to say Jews run things, another thing to say that Jews just happen to be at the top because there ain't nothing else that they learned how to do in the 2,000 years they were told they couldn't do anything else but be merchants and artists and things like that. So that's the end of that. I'm not going to go into a big, long history lesson, not for the benefit of Bud and not for the benefit of Robert. I would for Rick Sanchez, but he ain't here. And I certainly don't want to...
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
All right, so 877-876-PHIL is the number. One more story here. The lady that superglued her eyeball... not her eyeballs, but her...
Well, she superglued her the balls.
No, she didn't. She reached for eye drops and instead used super glue. And fortunately, this has a happy ending, folks, so don't get too, you know, weirded out. She reached for eye drops and instead used super glue, and it happens a lot more often than you might think. Imgard Holm in Phoenix had cataract surgery last year. She mistakenly reached for what she thought was one of her half dozen eye drop medications, but the burning sensation that followed let her know something was seriously wrong. It was super glue. According to Mrs. Holm, the bottles are identical. She tried washing the adhesive out, but the quick drying glue did its job and sealed her eye shut. Paramedics and hospital staff had to get it open and wash out her eye before major damage was done. They had to cut off the glue substance, and it was all hard and in the eye, and I couldn't even see. You might think Holmes' mix-up is a rare medical mishap, but that's not so. My Fox Phoenix found many cases of super glue ocular injuries dating all the way back to 1982 in numerous medical journals. The Food and Drug Administration will interview Holmes later this week, and she hopes her case and the others will put pressure on glue makers to change their bottle shapes and sizes. Oh, is this the lady? Oh, this poor gal. So here she is talking about getting her eye super glued.
It was a nightmare and a half. The bottles are identical. You know, I'm not young anymore, but I'm not senile. I just, you know, did this because these are my precious eye drops. They had to cut off the glue substance, whatever, and it was all hard, and it was in the eye, and it was just everywhere. And I couldn't even see. You can go infection, blindness, removal of the eye on something like this. Please help. Please help.
You blew it!
Well, anyway, she's fine. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show here. And when we come back, we'll tell you why an ESPN producer's in hot water. Hot water? I think the guy got canned. Plus, how are the Brits powering their homes with their... with the toilet.
We go into the bathroom.
Right. The Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
You blew it!
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Nat,
go ahead.
Now it's Iron Swine, and this is another episode of Iron Swine where they got to go to Hitler's bunker.
Yeah, Iron Swine is called out of Hitler bunker because somebody put super glue in a Hitler eye.
Yeah, the Fuhrer got super glue in his eye, and now here we go.
Yeah, okay, Iron Swine, I'm going to take you down to Hitler bunker.
Oh yeah, why? Why for?
The Hitler, he got, what do you call that, super glue in his eyeball.
Oh, here's the secretary for Hitler, Traudel Junga. Hey, did the Fuhrer, did he get, what did he get in his eye?
It was a nightmare.
Oh, okay.
And then they got it out.
Yeah, they get it out of Hitler's eye, and then he can kill himself. This has been Iron Swine.
Be with us next time when we do another... Iron Swine.
What?
Were you kidding me?
Well, that worked perfect, man. What was wrong with that?
Well, what are you talking about? Boy, you had to run a long way to make that work.
Well, if you listen to that lady, sounds like talk about Hitler. Listen to it. Go ahead. You do it the way you did it, Robert.
Yeah. We're now in Hitler's bunker. How you doing, lady?
It was a nightmare.
Oh, okay.
Is that the lady with the super glue?
Yeah.
All right. Well, very ingenious. All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much. You going to call him Iron Swine still or Super Swine?
Yeah, I'd call him Super Swine by now, but...
You know, the Iron Swine thing is a little old since swine flu is...
No, man. No way. We don't change it for nothing, man. Iron Swine, where it at?
All right. Fine. ESPN producer admits masturbating while watching a neighbor change her clothes.
It was a nightmare.
Yes. Neil Goldberg, who's working in television production with ESPN, his current employer, and Fox, for nearly 30 years, was caught standing on a stool and pleasuring himself while watching a female neighbor change clothes. Police said Goldberg, 52, was arrested on charges of breach of peace, disorderly conduct, public indecency, you know, just weird, being a weird man, and trespass. Police report that the ESPN producer admitted to them. Was he in his own home? Anyway, police report the ESPN producer admitted to them that he was pleasuring himself. Police said a woman walking her dog in the Bradford Walk complex reported seeing a man standing on a stool and pleasuring himself while peering through a neighbor's window. According to Farmington, Connecticut police, when Goldberg saw the woman, he stopped and went back inside his home. So he was standing out on a, whatever the hell he was standing out on or something.
Like a balcony.
Maybe. Goldberg worked extensively on ESPN's NASCAR production and was a key part of many sports Emmy-winning broadcasts, according to SportsGrid.com. Goldberg was released on a $1,000 bond and scheduled to appear in court on October the 13th. I don't know, you know, I mean, it's weird, but where was the guy, you know?
Well, I mean, the guy's all out there and everything, doing a do and anything like that.
Well, they never tell you, man. It says he went back inside of his house. Was he out on a balcony? Was he on his own premises? Public indecency, I understand that. You can't be, even on your own property, you can't be standing there, you know.
Why can't you, man? If that's your own property, why can't you stand there, have your pants off, everything like that?
Because you're not allowed, that's called public indecency. Even on your own property, you cannot act in a manner that is, quote-unquote, indecent to the public. So, give an example, because we did a bit about this a long time ago.
Look, can I ask you something?
Go ahead.
What if I'm at my house and I took my pants off, but not on account of anything other than then I just don't like wearing pants, okay?
Yeah.
And a Girl Scout comes to the door, and I answer the door with no pants.
You'd be arrested.
That's a police state.
Why?
Because you can't stand there and act in an indecent and lewd manner, and especially with an underage person. Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't say they could come on my property or nothing.
There's a law that covers it. Believe me, it is a law there is a reasonable expectation because you have a front door and a doorbell. You understand that you are going to receive visitors. They're going to knock on your door. Okay. And
what are you talking about? Because I got a doorbell.
If you have a door on a street, you've got a doorbell, and you, by all appearances, while it is your property, you also are admitting or you are making the statement that you expect from time to time there will be people visiting or otherwise soliciting some kind of business at your front door. So if someone comes to your door and you answer it with your pants off, that is an indecent and lewd act, and you can be arrested for it.
Man, that's not fair because that's your property. And your man's home as a cow, you can walk around with no pants on.
You can walk around with no pants on all you want in your house.
What about in my yard? I can't even do that.
If you got a yard that's out on the street, okay, and you know it's out on the street, and you're walking out there scandalizing the neighbor's kids with no pants, yeah, you're breaking the law.
That's bull, man, because of your private property.
Well, you know, I agreed with you at one point, but in my life, but I learned the law was, you know, it doesn't see it that way. Now, your backyard, if it's out of the view of people, you can do all you want, you know.
Yeah, like a lady live near us, man, you know.
Don't belch on me, Robert, okay?
Sorry.
God, what was that, man?
The habanero sausage.
Oh. Yeah, you live near a lady.
That lady in the backyard would be nude.
Are you kidding me?
No, man. She sunbathed with no pants. Not with no pants. No panties.
Well, lucky you, dude. But that's the law. Our executive producer is Jason Rantz, our technical director, Charles Wigan, and, of course, our screener and associate producer, Dan Northcraft, and PhilHendryShow.com, baby, for your Phil Hendry needs.